أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الفقر راحة، والغنى عقوبة، والظلم ندامة، والمعصية مصيبة، والضحك هلاك البدن، والبكاء من خشية الله أمان من النار. صلوات. One of the signs of Iman and faith, which has several signs in Islam that help us to distinguish whether the person is a true believer in Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and all the Islamic belief system. One of those signs to distinguish a person being a believer or not, being a mu'min, having the real faith and iman or not, is faqr. And faqr and poverty is classified in ilm al-akhlaq, the knowledge of Islamic morality and ethical codes, as two kinds: al-faqru ila an-nas, being poor and faqir towards the society, towards the people; wal-faqru ila Allah, being poor and needy towards Allah. As far as the first category of faqr and poverty is concerned, that means al-faqru ila an-nas, being poor and needy towards the people, soliciting and begging, is extremely condemned in Islam, and Islam never appreciates a human being to beg in front of any other human being for anything, not just for money, for anything. This is against the basic, fundamental human dignity and karamatun nafs, and izzatun nafs, which is one of the greatest blessings of Allah, that we, by virtue of being humans, not animals, not plantations, not even angels, do not enjoy that high level of karamat that a human being enjoys being a true human being. So, Islam does not appreciate for any person to be needy and beg, and to beg for anything in front of the humans. And these kind of people will be resurrected with dark faces on the Day of Judgment, because their souls were zulmani and dark. And that's the reality of their actions, and that's what they are supposed to face, the reality and haqiqat, on the day which is called Yawmul Haqq. Everything of that day is nothing but haqiqat and reality. People were silly who failed to realize that the reality of begging in front of the human beings is this. And that's the reason they ended up doing this kind of behavior, because they were away from the Sharia, and naturally they were away from the tariqat, which is the batin of this Sharia. And the Sharia is custom created by Allah and molded to take us to the batin and hidden reality of this Sharia, which is tariqat. So we fail to understand the batin and hidden reality of the divine rulings revealed upon the Holy Prophet through the revelation from the Alamul Ghaib, the unseeable world. And that's the reason, because of our arrogance towards the divine rulings, we ended up doing behaviors that were actually hurting and harming our own selves, and none but our own selves. And in Farsi, there is a proverb, they say, harche kuni bekhudit kuni agarche khubo bad kuni. Whatever you do, you actually do it to your own self. Whether you do good or you do bad, we don't realize. We think we are smart. We think sometimes we can just run away with it. We can do things and we think we are playing smart. We fail to realize that whether we are doing good, we are not doing any favor to nobody. We are favoring our own spirituality and our akhirat. And if we do bad and we sin, we are actually hurting and harming our own spirituality first and foremost, before hurting anybody else. So what I was saying is that Islamic knowledge of morality and akhlaq classifies faqr and poverty into two categories. The first is what I just defined, al-faqru ila nas, being needy towards the people, which is condemned. And the second category of faqr in Islamic morality is al-faqru ila Allah, being faqir and poor and needy towards Allah. We are all faqir towards Allah. Quran has already announced very clearly, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ. O you the humans, you are fuqara, you are the needy towards Allah. And Allah is هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ, He is the only one who is rich. There is no rich other than Allah. Nobody is rich. And we need to adjust this thinking, which is found in the society, generally speaking. If we are mu'min and believers, we need to adapt to the Quranic value system and Quranic principles to prosper. So, the second category of faqr and poverty in ilmul akhlaq is al-faqru ilallah, being needy towards Allah, which we are needy towards Allah, but sometimes we don't realize. And because we fail to realize, we end up doing things which hurt our own selves. And when we turn to the hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we find Prophet saying it talking about this category of faqr which I just mentioned, the second category, Prophet says, al-faqru fakhri. Faqr, feeling need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 24-7, 365, we feel deep down in our hearts that we are needy towards Allah. This is something which is a matter of pride for me, Prophet said. Faqr is towards Allah. In other words, faqr is a matter of pride for me. Prophet was the biggest faqir towards Allah. And he was the one who felt the faqr and need more than anybody else ever felt. And that's the reason he is feeling proud. وَبِهِ أَفْتَخِرُ عَلَىٰ سَائِرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And it's upon the faqr and need towards Allah, upon the need, that I feel proud over all the prophets of God. So there isn't any prophet of God who had that high level of feeling the need towards Allah always as the level enjoyed by the Holy Prophet. بِهِ أَفْتَخِرْ عَلَىٰ سَائِرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. So we find that feeling need towards Allah. Well, the common usage of the word faqr that we use commonly, faqir, a poor person who doesn't have money and material blessings of Allah, is not a sign necessarily of Allah loving us or hating us. If we have more of the money and more of the material blessings, actually for some of the people, for some categories of people, it's a sign of la'nat and curse of Allah upon them, that they have been given more of the material blessings if they fall in the category of mustadrajin and those who are taken by Allah under His divine makr and tadbir and deceptive plan. As a result of the arrogant behaviors of the people themselves. So they ask for it because they never heeded to the divine warnings, the multiple divine warnings coming to them one after the other, and this category of people were ignoring. So what I was saying is to you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this regular meaning of faqr that we talk about, somebody doesn't have money, is nothing to worry about as long as our iman and our values are protected and safe. Because we find that the second category of faqr and poverty, that means feeling need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to protect us even though we may not have money. Actually, the seerat and practical policies of all the prophets of God and the imams was such that they were imposing this meaning of faqr and poverty over themselves voluntarily, even if Allah had awarded them money. It gives us a very clear idea that what a behavior of a mu'min is supposed to be. Look at what Hazrat Isa alayhi salam has said, Allahumma rzuqni ghadwatan raghifan. O my Lord, give me one bread in the morning. Wa ashiyatan raghifan. And give me one bread in the night. And don't give me more for atgha. Otherwise, I'm going to rebel. So, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is saying that, O my Lord, don't give me more than a bread in the morning and more than a bread in the evening, in the night. Otherwise, I would rebel. And even if the prophets of God ended up having money, it has been narrated about the seerat of the Holy Prophet that lam yabqa indahu dirhamun wala dinar. No dirham or dinar. Dirham used to be a silver coin in those days, and dinar used to be a gold coin of pure gold. And the exchange rate was that 10 dirhams equaled 1 dinar. That means 10 silver coins equal to 1 gold coin. So what is narrated in the history about our beloved Prophet is that لَمْ يَبْقَ عِنْدَهُ دِرْهَمٌ وَلَا دِينَارٌ. It never happened in the life of the Holy Prophet that any dirham or dinar ever remained with him. He never used to make any savings. It's not haram in Islam to make savings. That's not what we are talking about. So don't take it in the wrong sense. We are talking about the fact that prophets and imams have set the highest levels and highest role model and highest ideals for us to remember. So those who want to follow, there is always the highest level available for us to reach. We can never be like the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, but certain levels are achievable for us, and that's the reason all these teachings have been told. Otherwise there was no purpose of mentioning anything about what the Prophets have done, if it's not undoable for us. Especially when the nature of money is such that it always causes a person to rebel and to basically to become arrogant and oppose and transgress the limits of Allah. And whether we oppose or we transgress is not going to help us in any matter. Like I said already, that we actually hurt our own selves, we don't realize. But it actually, whether we transgress or not, whatever amount of money is going to reach us is bound to reach us anyway. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَى الدُّنْيَا أَن تُضَيِّقِي وَتُكَدِّرِي وَتُمَرِّرِي عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِي حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِقَائِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his wahi on dunya that be bitter and tough and bad on my beloved servants so that they end up loving me, loving meeting with me, liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah. That's the revelation that has been made by Allah upon this dunya. So let's not try to reinvent the wheel and rewrite the rules. Even if we try, it's not going to help us. That's the way it has been created and commanded by the Creator. And let's be clear that this dunya belongs to Alamut-Takween. Alamut-Takween means the world of existences. We are not talking about an existence which belongs to Alamut-Tashri', the world of the legislature, do's and do nots of the Sharia. We, the human beings and the jinns, belong to Alamut Tashri', the world of legislature, divine legislature, do's and do nots. We are the ones who are put to test. Dunya is not put to test by Allah. Dunya does not belong to Alamut Tashri', the world of the Sharia. Dunya belongs to Alamut Takween. And there is zero disobedience in the Alamut Takween. Anything and everything that belongs to Alamut Takween can never ever think of disobeying any command that it has received. Because it doesn't belong to Alamut Tashri'. All the disobediences and sins and transgression of the limits, you find in those who belong to Alamut Tashri'. The humans and the jinns, some of the humans and the jinns only. Nothing else in the whole existence ever thinks of disobeying any command what it has received. So Allah has sent his revelation on this dunya. An tuzayyiqi wa tukaddiri wa tumarriri ala awliya'i hatta yuhibbu liqa'i. So you have to be bitter and tough, and hard and bad over my beloved servants so that they end up loving meeting with me. وَتُسَهِّلِي وَتُطَيِّبِي. And make yourself look easy and comfortable and convenient to achieve, convenient for my enemies, so they end up not loving to meet me. حَتَّى يُبْغِذُوا لِقَائِي. So that they hate meeting with Allah. And that's the reason why anybody who has more of this dunya and its material blessings, hates to die, hates death, hates to die away from this dunya, because he doesn't want to leave these material blessings. Issaqaltum ilal arv. There are some people who get stuck with this material world. You know, just like if a person is too heavy, you know, he may try to lift his body up, but he's unable because it's too heavy to stand up. Some people are, according to, in the light of the teachings of Quran, we understand some people are classified as too heavy to stand up, because they got stuck to the material blessings. They are not ready to stand up and join the flight, the spiritual flight of closeness and getting elevated to the high levels, high spiritual levels, which are only and only achievable for the humans and the jinns, not even for the angels, because of getting stuck with these material things of this dunya. So what I was saying to you is that all the prophets imposed poverty upon them in their behaviors voluntarily, even though they may end up making a lot of money, which is not haram in Islam to make any amounts of money from Allah. So Prophet لَمْ يَبْقَ عِنْدَهُ دِرْهَمٌ وَلَا دِينَارٌ. What I was telling you, our conversation ended up here, that Prophet no dirham or dinar ever remained with the Holy Prophet. وَإِنْ فَضُلَ لَمْ يَأْوَ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ. And if something remained, he never came back to his house. That means Prophet always used to give away the money and comes back empty-handed. Why is that behavior witnessed? Because they were self-imposing this poverty upon them so that they never get attached. All those who were sitting around, hanging around with the Holy Prophet, always were poor people. And that's exactly what the mushrikeen of Makkah used to say to the Holy Prophet, why do you want us to become a Muslim? So that we end up sitting around with you, with these kind of people, this Salman, this poor guy from Fars, and this Abu Dharr, this destitute person from Arabia, and this Ammar and Miqdad. And look at what the Allah has commanded to the Holy Prophet in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاوَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Don't reject them, don't throw them out, don't keep them away from you. Those people who remember Allah, you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and the night, they want nothing but the wajh and face of Allah, His face. When Prophet asked, why are these people so close? Those for which the ayat is talking about. And Allah replied, they were people who asked dunya from us, whereas there were some people who asked akhirat from us. And there were some people who asked nothing from us except us. They asked Allah, in other words. That's the reason why they are so beloved and so great. And because they were all, and you know, once it has been narrated that in the time of Salman Farsi, who belongs to the 10th level of Iman, and he was the Wali and governor in Mada'in, and a tufan, a storm came in that small town, and people rushed to the governor's place informing him that there's a storm about to arrive, about to destroy the whole neighborhood and this whole town, so you better leave your house and just leave this town. So as soon as this guy came and informed Salman Farsi, he just stood up, he wore his slippers, grabbed his stick, picked up his Quran and a bag of his, having his stuff, and he started to walk away. And when he was walking away, he said what is narrated in the history, that hakadha yanju al-mukhifun. That's the way how the light people, we were talking about those who are heavy, who got stuck with the material blessings of this dunya, they cannot stand up. So look at what Salman Farsi is saying. Hakara yanjul mukhifun. That's how the light people will be saved. That's how the light people will be saved. And they always say, when you travel, you better travel light. Because if you are light, it's easy. For various reasons. And that's what the Prophet also said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, that Ya Ali, please say salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. So Prophet said to Imam Ali, further down. So Prophet said to Imam Ali, Ya Ali, Najal Mukhifun wa Halakal Muskilun. The light people got succeeded and the weighty people got devastated. The more weight we are carrying with us, quote unquote, whatever is categorized to be weight from the perspective of the Day of Judgment, the more weight we are carrying, the more destroyed we are, the higher destruction we are going to face. The lesser weight we are carrying and the lighter we are, the more successful we will be. We are the more successful. So we find that our scholars say that when the Prophet is saying in the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, al-faqru rahatun, faqr is comfort. Prophet said, al-faqru rahatun, being in need is comfort. I already told you what we are talking about when need is not being needy towards the people, which is condemned in Islam. This is no rahat and comfort. Feeling the need towards Allah. So, faqr, and one of the possible meanings in ihtimalat and probabilities from the that can, you know, this hadith can be taken in that meaning probably is if you lead a life without getting attached to the material blessings and money. So, voluntarily leading a life of poverty. Money is already destined. We are going to get what is already destined. There is nothing to worry about. That's what I always say to my youth in different places, that, you know, when we are choosing our careers in life, don't focus on a career which makes more money for you. This is not an Islamic way of dealing with this matter. The Islamic way of a mu'min person who has faith and strong faith in the divine teachings is that when we are choosing a career, we look at the fact which career can help me serve Islam and Quran and Ahlul Bayt better than the rest of the careers. This is what we are supposed to do. This is our perspective of Iman. This is an Imani perspective. So, al-faqru rahatun, wal-ghina uqubatun. Prophet said that richness is punishment. I already told you, for some people it is really a curse of Allah and la'nat of Allah that they are rich. The more the rich they get, the more they forget Allah and their duties towards Allah and become further ghafil and ignorant towards what they were supposed to do and just leading a life which is totally broken away from the barakat and ma'naviyat and metaphysical blessings of Allah. So al-faqru rahatun wal-ghina uqubatun wal-zulmu nadamatun. Zulm and injustice is nadamat, pashaymani, repentance. any zulm. We have zulm on the people, zulmun nas. We have zulmun nafs in ilmul akhlaq, oppressing your own spirituality. When we do a sin, we are actually oppressing our own selves. Or we hurt others, we ignore their rights and do not fulfill our obligations towards the society, towards the rest of the people. So this is zulm on the society, zulm on the people. And both of them are, of course, haram and condemned in Islam. And both of them are nadamat and pashimani and repentance. If we understand, Prophet always talks about haqiqat. And I always emphasize in my speeches that everything of the Holy Prophet, don't take the teachings of the Holy Prophet as metaphorical teachings, you know, majaz goi and using metaphors. Prophet is ahlul haqiqah, because he is the one who considers this sharia, which is the zahir, to be a tool, an instrument, which is bound to take us, if we follow the sharia in its totality, it's bound to take us towards tariqat, which is the batin. And he considers sharia and tariqat both to be custom created to lead us towards haqiqat and reality. So anybody who belongs to haqiqat is ahlul sharia kamilan, is perfectly following the sharia, and he has already reached the batin of the hidden reality of this sharia. And that's the reason, by combining both, he is now empowered to witness the haqa'iq and realities in the universe. So anything that Prophet is saying, he is talking about realities. Prophet said, "Al-zulmu nadamatan." So we are not supposed to do zulm on anyone, because this is repentance. Every zalim is bound to be repenting, if not here, tomorrow, in the grave, and on the Day of Judgment. So in the time of Yahya al-Barmaki, he learned about a person in the Islamic world in those days who used to make pens. In those days, they used to make pens of cane, in wooden pens, to write down things. So he learned about this guy who is very famous in making pens, wooden pens, as writing instruments. He called him. He wanted him to make 3 pens for him. The guy showed up in the darbar, in the palace of Yahya al-Barmaki. He made 3 pens. He delivered the pens to Yahya al-Barmaki, the ruler. And finally, when he was walking away from the palace and was about to exit the door, he turned around and he came back to the ruler and said, "Give me those pens back." And he gave the pens back, all those 3 pens back to him. And this guy who made those pens, he just broke all those 3 wooden pens, threw them away. And Yahya Barmaki, he was shocked. "What happened to you? Why did you do this?" He said, "When I was exiting your palace, as if I heard this voice coming to me, somebody reciting this verse of Holy Quran, 'Ohshur al-ladhina zalamu wa aswajahum wa ma kanu ya'budun.' Gather all those people who did the zulm and their companions and what they used to worship." See, on the Day of Judgment, all the zalimeen and oppressors who had done zulm back then in the life of dunya will be gathered by Allah's command, and not just them, but every single person who helped them from any aspect, less or more, is irrelevant. Even if you picked up a pen and you put it on the table of a zalim, this, you will be resurrected along with that zalim on the Day of Judgment, because Allah is just. So I don't want me to be resurrected on the Day of Judgment with you. You end up writing things of oppression with my pen, and I end up getting resurrected with you on the Day of Judgment. So that's the reason I just broke those pens. So it's the matter of understanding. The sooner we realize, we are not created here to just make more money, you know, for the sake of this dunya, and reproduce like animals, and forget Allah and our responsibility towards Allah. We are not created for that. We are humans. We are the most superior of all the creatures. We are mukarram. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Allah said, we have honored the children of Adam. Human beings are the most honored creatures of Allah. And we should not just settle for this kind of amount as a price for our spirituality. لَيْسَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. What Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, لَيْسَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ سَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. There is no price tag for you, for your souls, other than the paradise. فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا بِغَيْرِهَا. So don't sell your souls for anything other than the paradise. So, أَظُلْمُ نَدَامَةٌ. You never know when something clicks in the mind. We also need to keep on doing this Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahy al Munkar to people. Maybe sometimes it helps. You never know. Sometimes a word, a sentence of a person clicks in the mind and it changes the life forever. You all know the story of Bushr al-Hafi, one of the companions in the time of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Imam Kadhim alayhi salam is walking past the house of Bushr al-Hafi, and he was sitting in his house with some music going on, and some of the narrations have mentioned that dancing was also going on in his house. And Imam Kadhim alayhi salam is walking past his door, and his female servant came out to throw the garbage. And Imam asked her, is the owner of this house a free person or a slave? And she replied back, no, he's a free person, he's not a slave. And Imam Kadhim alayhi salam said, you're right. If he was a slave, لَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا لَخَافَ مِنْ مَوْلَاهُ. If he was a slave, he would have fearing Allah, fearing his Mawla. That means fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the behavior which is we are witnessing, this kind of situation is going on in his house, it doesn't show, the actions are not speaking that he is considering himself to be a slave of Allah and a servant of Allah. He is behaving like a free man, as if there is no accountability. So there was a little bit conversation going on between Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam and this female servant. And after a while, when she returned back inside the home, and after this short delay, the guy, Bushr al-Hafi, asked her, why did you delay? And she said, well, there was a stranger passing by, and he asked me the question, is the owner of the house, is the owner a free person or a slave? And I said to him, no, he's not a slave, he's a free person, he's not a slave. And then he gave this remark that, you're right, if he was a slave, he would have been fearing Allah, fearing his Mawla. This sentence of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam clicked in the mind, and it was just like serving as a shock, so much that Bushr al-Hafi stood up and he ran, he left everything, he ran in the alley to find who was that person. And finally, he ran barefooted. And that's the reason in Ilmur Rijal, when we talk about those of the narrations narrated by Bushr, we always mention the word Al-Hafi, because Hafi in Arabic means the barefooted. Because in this event, he ran after Imam Kadhim al-Islam without wearing his shoes. So in the Ilmur Rijal, in the knowledge of the narrators, we call Bushr to be the barefooted because of this event. He has some narrations from Imam al-Kadhim al-Islam. So we find Bushr al-Hafi ran to find and to discover that this is the Imam of his time, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And his sentence is so inspiring that he was totally changed. And he said to the Imam that, is there a tawbah for me for all the sins that I have done? And Imam said, if you do the tawbah and you quit the sin, that means you have a tawbah. If you totally quit the sin and you don't turn back. And he did the tawbah. So there's always a room for a person, and we should, as a response, it's our responsibility to continue continue alerting the people, continue bidding the people for good and forbidding them from the harams. The Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar concept should never be stopped. So, al-zulmu nadamatun. Zulm is repentance. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, al-zulmu zulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. Zulm is darknesses on the day of judgment. Again, those darknesses would appear on the people. Those were darknesses back then in the life of Dunya. But those zalim people failed to realize themselves. They were in the darkness. They couldn't realize they are in the darkness. If there were people who are Ahl-e Haqiqat, those who belong to the realities available around him, they would have been seeing this guy's soul drowned in darkness. We fail to see that because of the same curtains and hijabat of sins which are there because we never followed the Sharia completely in its entirety. So we never ended up reaching the level of tariqat. What to talk about having access to the haqiqat and batin and realities of the universe. So zulmu zulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. And al-zihku halakul badan. Prophet said that laughing is this devastation of your body. Al-zihku halakul badan. Laughing is devastation and halakat of your body. And again, our scholars of akhlaq say, you know, Prophet never used to laugh. It's never, you can never find in any history about the Holy Prophet that he used to laugh. Kana dhahkuhu at-tabassum. Prophet's laugh was a smile. When he was happy, he used to smile. He never used to laugh. That's not part of the... We keep on laughing in our lives because we are so different from the Holy Prophet. And our scholars of akhlaq say that laughing is a sign of ghaflat. It's an alamat of ghaflat. That person is ignorant towards his responsibilities towards Allah. If he realized the responsibilities always, there is no room left for a human to laugh. There's a lot to say about laughing, but that's not my subject of speech. Maybe some other time we can elaborate, because there's a lot told to us about laughing and what are the end results of those who establish this spiritual attribute in their souls. So, al-dhihku halakul badan. And, you know, there were two brothers. You know, there were two brothers who, one of them used to be very, you know, he used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. The other guy was ghafil, you know, ignorant and laughing and all that. And once he said to his brother, why are you like this? Why don't you just enjoy in your life, you know? And he said, because I recited the Quran. Because the Holy Quran has said that إِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every single person, in other words, everyone among you is going to enter it.
كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَظَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِسِيًّا.
So, everyone... Quran, in the light of the Holy Quran, we understand very clearly that every person is going to enter the hellfire. Everyone is going to enter the hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to secure and protect those who had taqwa.
ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا.
Then we will save those who had taqwa.
Salvation belongs to taqwa. So entry into the hellfire is a general issue, all-encompassing, including everyone without exception. Everybody is going to enter the hellfire. But then the muttaqeen and the pious will be saved. And hellfire is nothing to worry about as long as a person has taqwa, because it's unlike the fire of this dunya, which has no sense. You know, your fire in this dunya, you put your fingers, gonna burn you down. Isn't that right? You put a Quran, God forbid, which is insult and haram, So, you know, no one can do that. But if a Quran is thrown by a non-believer into the fire, you know, the fire is going to burn down the Quran. Isn't it right? Fire has no sense in this dunya. But when we are talking about the fire of akhirat, it's unlike the fire of this dunya. The fire of akhirat has aql. Much more than lots and lots and lots of human beings in this world. So the fire of the hellfire recognizes precisely who is a mu'min and who is a kafir and munafiq and who is a muttaqi and pious and who is a fasiq, transgressor of divine limits. Very clearly known by the hellfire, and that's the reason why the fire is going to behave accordingly to every person. There's nothing to worry about. It's a divine task assigned to this existence. The hellfire is an existence created by Allah, again belonging to Alamut Taqween, which is an assigned agent from Allah's behalf to do the assigned task, and it never disobeys. So it's bound to secure the muttaqi people. So what we are supposed to focus on is not to focus on, you know, what's going to, you know, why are we going to enter into the hellfire? That's already commanded by, that's already there in the Holy Quran. Everybody is going to enter the hellfire. What we are supposed to focus is how can we succeed? How can we avoid? How can we get out of the hellfire, which belongs to those who have taqwa only? So that's why we are supposed to focus on taqwa. So this brother replied to his brother that, well, I have recited in the Holy Quran that everybody is going to enter, but I never recited in the entire Quran that everybody is going to get out, except the pious, who will be saved by Allah. So there's every room for me to cry. Because, you know, in the end of the hadith, which I was recited in the beginning of my speech from the Holy Prophet, Prophet has said, وَالْبُكَاءُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ أَمَانٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. And crying from the fear of Allah is the guarantee, is the protection from the hellfire. So, those of the eyes who have been engaged in crying from the fear of Allah in the life of this dunya are the people who will be لَن تَمَسَّهَ النَّارُ أَبَدًا. The hellfire doesn't have the permission to touch those bodies. The hellfire, this assigned agent from Allah, doesn't have the license to touch the bodies of those who cried back then in the life of dunya from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so anything is Allah is trying to make us a kind of a person who always remembers and never becomes ghafil. Because sloughing leads us towards ghaflat, and it's a sign of ghaflat, and it further leads us towards ghaflat, possibly. So we are supposed to avoid this spiritual attribute. Avoid this thing which is condemned in Islam. It's not haram, I'm not saying that, but it's condemned. And likewise, you know, we find that al-ma'siyatu musibatun, that a sin, Prophet said, the sin is musibat from Allah. It's a calamity. When we do a sin, it's a calamity. And because of this situation, that the human beings have been avoiding becoming faqir towards Allah, from their perspective, we will always stay faqir and needy towards Allah. They were trying to become ghani by resorting to the material blessings of Allah instead of relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Because they relied on something or someone other than Allah, especially the material blessings of Allah, they ended up in this situation that is, which is like a vicious circle. The more you rely, the more you rely, the more you forget, the more you get entangled in this belongings of this dunya. And this love and attachment of the material belongings becomes so deep entrenched into the souls of the people that basically they reach a point initially that they become qasiyul qalb, which is improper to translate as stone-hearted. And I always say that because stones, there are some inna min al-hijarati lima yatafajjaru minhu al-anhar. There are some of the stones that break apart and the fountains come out of those stones. But these people, their hearts never melt. So it's inappropriate to translate the word qasiyul qalb because, you know, I translate the word into stone-hearted. But we are just using it to facilitate for so that you can understand and get some idea about what we are talking about. So this is the stage number one. After having this attachment of dunya, we end up becoming stone-hearted. And finally, if we continue this process and do not heed to the divine warnings and the warnings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we end up into a stage which is called Shaqawatul Qalb, which is the last point of the human being getting doomed and getting basically devastated spiritually. Because a Shaqiyul Qalb person doesn't return back. That's the point of no return. So you find Imam Hussain alayhi salam is addressing the Ashqiya and nothing happens to them. Even despite the fact that a person like Imam Hussain alayhi salam is addressing with all the taharat and ismat and greatness that he enjoys. But we find there is zero impact on those Ashqiya who gathered around to kill Imam Hussain alayhi salam. In fact, a person... that's why we are talking. We talk about, you know, our scholars of akhlaq always talk about, you know, avoiding the sins. That's one of the reasons, because this destroys the spirituality, and you know, we reach a point where we are ready to violate. We are ready to transgress. So finally, when Imam Hussain alayhi salam became shaheed, Hazrat Fidha salamullah alayha, she came to Hazrat Zainab and said that I have a big news for you. And Hazrat Zainab said, well, I have no big news remaining for me after the shahadat of my brother. And Hazrat Fidha said to her that they are trying to crush the body of Hussain ibn Ali under the hooves of the horses. Sayyid ibn Ta'us has narrated that فَقَامَ عَشْرَةُ فَوَارِسِ 10 of the horses, 10 of the people riding horses, those were prepared so they can basically crush the janazah of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam under the hooves of the horses. Different people's jasad and bodies were taken away by different qabail and tribes, but Imam Hussain alayhi salam's body remained in the battlefield in Karbala, because there is nobody to support Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam Hussain is ghareeb and alone and lonely, and there is no tribe ready to defend Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his mazlumiyat. So we find Imam Hussain's janazah is the only janazah who is trampled upon by the hooves of the horses. And finally, when this caravan is taken from Karbala into Kufa, and the ladies started to cry, when they saw this situation, they saw the heads of those shuhada, they saw these women in this situation when their heads were tied behind their backs, and without the hijab, you know, just like the slaves of Turk and Daylam were used to be brought. And when they saw this situation, in order to express their sympathies, they started to cry. And Hazrat Umm Kulthum said to them that taqtuluna rijalukum wa tabki alayna nisa'ukum. That means, what is this going on? You guys, your men are the ones who come. Your men come and kill us, and your women start crying over us? Isn't those the men of Kufa who came to kill Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his companions? And now we find that their women are standing and watching the Ahlul Bayt without helping them and crying over the Ahlul Bayt. And finally, when they were distributing those dates, You know, and Hazrat Umm Kulthum said, "Inna sadaqata alayna muharramatun." Sadaqah is haram. You know, it's not okay for the, it's not allowed for the Ahlul Bayt, you know, to consume the sadaqah. So she said, sadaqah is haram and on us. And so basically she took the dates, some of those dates, away from the hands of, you know, some children, and to keep it away so that the children could not eat the sadaqah because it is haram on Ahlul Bayt. So we find that Umm Habiba, she came forward and she said to Hazrat Zainab, she couldn't recognize this is Hazrat Zainab. She, you know, she came and said to Hazrat Zainab that the dates which I provided, these dates do not belong to sadaqah. These are the dates of nazar. Actually, I did the nazar. Hazrat Zainab asked her, what was your nazar? And she replied, I did my nazar. May Allah give me the blessing and tawfiq to go and do the ziyarat of my Imam, Imam Hussein, and my lady Hazrat Zainab. When Hazrat Zainab heard that, she said, Allah accepted your nazar because Zainab came to your town. When she heard that, she was very much shocked and she said, where is my lady Zainab? When did she arrive? I was not told. I never learned about that. Hazrat Zainab said to her, if you look at Zainab, will you recognize her? Of course, Umm Habiba said, I will recognize her. She is my lady. Why would I not recognize her? You know, but she still failed to recognize Hazrat Zainab because, of course, you know, of course she never saw Hazrat Zainab without the hijab, and she never saw Hazrat Zainab with her hands tied up behind her back. She never saw Hazrat Zainab in the bazaar of Kufa, where people were looking at Hazrat Zainab and all those ladies of Ahlul Bayt, and the Munadi was announcing on behalf of the Ashqiya, the Hadihi Sabaya min Banate Rasulullah. These are the slaves, these are the captives from the daughters of the Holy Prophet. So they were, she never thought Hazrat Zainab would be here. But now we find that when Hazrat Zainab, but she still could not, Umm Habiba still could not recognize Hazrat Zainab, because so Hazrat Zainab said that, finally, she said to Umm Habiba that I am Zainab. When Umm Habiba looked at Hazrat Zainab, she said, finally, my lady Zainab had an alamat and sign. She never used to get separated from her brother Hussein. She never used to get separated ever from her brother Hussein ibn Ali. And when Hazrat Zainab heard that remark, she pointed towards the head of Imam Hussein over that spear. And she said, that's the head of Hussein. And Zainab did not get separated from Hussein.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيع